Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 8. This is God's holy word. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, as we've just heard again tonight, beloved, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the preacher contrasts the days of youth in a person's life, not with the autumn or evening of life, as it's sometimes called, not with the golden years of life, as sometimes it's referred to, but the days of youth are here contrasted in Ecclesiastes 12 with the days of trouble. Or literally, the days of evil. Growing old is often not easy. It's often not very pleasant. It's quite often a time filled with struggles and difficulties of many, many kinds. The often desperate quest in our world and in our culture for the fountain of youth, the money and the effort that's expended on procedures and drugs and diets and regimes, seeking eternal youth is evidence that much of what accompanies increasing age is not what people want and not what they look forward to. I came across a poem recently. It's by Shel Silverstein or Silverstein. Who is a very interesting poet. He writes for children, I think. But I sure get a lot of his poems as well. And he has one poem called The Little Boy and the Old Man. The Little Boy and the Old Man. Do you know it? Said the little boy, sometimes I drop my spoon. Said the old man, I do that too. The little boy whispered, I wet my pants. I do that too, laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, I often cry. The old man nodded, so do I. But worst of all, said the boy, it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me. And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. I know what you mean, said the little old man. Growing old is not easy. And God has this passage on the theme of growing old in his word. For so many reasons. It's a word to the young. It's a word for them to remember the days of youth and the days of strength and light and the blessings of youth. It's in here for young people to remember that it is old to get hard. It's hard to get old, and we should have compassion for those who are old and remember that they are days of trouble. It's particularly here as well for those who are old and who are going through it and seeing what God says in all of his words, seeing that even these days of old age and the days of trouble can be days lived with the blessing of Christ. And that's a glorious thing. Shel Silverstein has his poem, The Little Man, The Little Boy and the Old Man, but here in Ecclesiastes 12, we have an even more extended poetic picture of growing old here in God's Word. Now, one commentator calls this passage the most difficult passage in a difficult book. Even the early church writer Jerome said that concerning the interpretation of this passage, there were as many opinions as there were men. People have approached this passage in many different ways, very literally, some as an extended metaphor or even as an allegory. This has been seen as a poem about old age. It's been interpreted as a description of a gloomy winter day, a description of a funeral, of a storm, weather storm passing by a house, and even as a picture of the end of human history. One commentator says much needless energy has been expended by the critics on their different interpretations of this passage. There are some details that may be debated, but in the context of the book of Ecclesiastes, and especially the preceding passage here, the simple view is surely the right one. This is a poem, a passage about contrasting the days of youth with the days of old age. It's not really that difficult to understand as a poem and what it is really speaking of in poetic language, a description of what happens when the years take their toll. Verse 7 says, of chapter 11, said, "Light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun." But when we come to chapter 12, verse 2, we are seeing here dark and darkening days. The sun, the light, the moon, the stars grow dark and clouds return after the rain. Clouds, somehow, some kind of clouds are now darkening the once blue sky. And they're returning and returning. One writer says, elderly people often receive one setback after another, like another dark cloud coming over a person's life. They fall and break a hip. They get pneumonia. One of their children gets in trouble with the law. Another has marriage problems. A good friend dies. Cloud after cloud of dark providence. Life under the sun is now cloudy and dark. And we can just quickly go through these verses, this poetic picture of old age. Verse 3, the keepers tremble. Boys and girls, do you ever see old people sometimes? And they shake, their hands shake. The keepers of the house tremble. Sometimes their whole body shakes. The strong men stoop. Either the legs of an older person, which can become bent and crooked with age, or a person's back being bent over more and more. When the grinders cease because they are few. Before the days of the kind of dentistry that we have, you just lost your teeth. Our English word molar comes from the Latin word for a grain mill, mola. The grinders cease. The windows, those looking through the windows grow dim. Likely our eyes, as our eyesight gets worse and worse as we get older. The doors to the street are closed. Ancient houses would have a door facing the street, and it may be noisy on the street. You close the door. You can't hear what's outside. But that's what happens when we get older, too. Our hearing gets closed off, and we become more and more deaf often. The sounds outside are muted. The sound of grinding fades. One writer says that perhaps this, referring to the grinding again, is that when you're older, you can only eat soft, pureed food. You don't have the sound of the grinding anymore, the food even that you used to eat. They rise up at the sound of birds. Things wake us up through the night. I remember hearing one person said, when a person is old, an all-nighter, which meant something different when you were young, now means making it through a night of sleep without having to get up. That's an all-nighter. We rise up at the sound of birds. The daughters, literally the daughters of music, are brought low. All their songs grow faint. Perhaps here the loss of the strength of your voice. I watched a very interesting documentary interview recently with Art Garfunkel of Simon and Garfunkel fame, who had a lovely voice. But now, I don't know how old is he is exactly, in his late 60s, 70s, he's lost his voice. He can still sing. In the interview, he sang a little bit, but it's very quiet. He's lost his range. But the interview is fascinating because he was very self-aware of this. And he himself said to the interview, what does a singer do when he's lost his voice? Who am I? I'm a singer, and I have no voice. It was his identity. And now he's old. Who is he anymore? Verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and dangers in the streets, as we get older, we get more cautious. We're careful of things. Fears seem to increase. Well, I can't do that. I won't take the chance of doing that. I'm not water skiing anymore. You know, more and more as I go out the door, Tara just says to me, Matt, please don't hurt yourself. Please don't hurt yourself. Boys and girls, what do you think about this? When the almond tree blossoms, the almond was the first tree in Palestine to blossom and had white blossoms. Have you seen any of the apple trees around maybe that have white blossoms? Can you think of maybe what that would be referring to in a poem about old age? A tree that is all white? Well, from far away, a tree might look like someone's head even. We think of someone's hair turning all white and gray as we get older. The grasshopper, one person said, the embodiment of lightness and agility, drags himself along. And desire is no longer stirred. Now, the Hebrew word there for desire is the word caperberry. If you know capers in cooking, that's the caper bud that we usually use, but the caper plant also produces a berry. And the caperberry was thought to stimulate appetite. And so perhaps this is saying old people often just don't eat. They lose their appetite. You have to remind them to cook, sometimes to make food. It may be referring to that. Other appetites may be referred to here as well. It's not easy to get old. In 2 Samuel 19, the king spoke to a man who had shown him kindness, Barzillai. And he says, cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you. Now, it's interesting and somewhat ironic because Barzillai literally means made of iron. He's the iron man. He's the man of steel. That's what his name means. But listen to what he says. Barzillai answered the king, how many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I'm now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and what he drinks? Can I still hear the voices of men and women singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to the Lord my King? All the things he couldn't do, that he couldn't enjoy anymore. And he says, who wants to have an old man around that would only be a burden to you? Along with all the difficulties of old age comes often just that feeling of being useless and being a burden to people around you. And society more and more in our culture are thinking that the elderly are a burden, socially, economically. And you know the answer that's coming up more and more to those that are a burden, euthanasia. That's the way to deal with this burden. The text goes on, the end of verse 5, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Even without euthanasia, there is the prospect, the eventuality of death. A man's years are 70, the strong see 80, the psalm says. And look how it's described. The silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the spring, the wheel broken at the well. The silver cord, the golden bowl, that may be a picture of a lamp. The lamp of life is snapped, it's broken. The clay pots that we are shattered. And our souls enter eternity, even as our bodies enter the grave. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. And certainly viewed from an earthly perspective, it's a very bleak picture indeed. Apart from Christ, this is a very grim prospect. But how are we to approach these days of trouble biblically, Christianly, in the gospel? Well, in light of the days of trouble, this, as we saw last time to a degree, is a word to the young. You know, if you look at verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 6, we read the same word repeated over and over, before, before, before. Before these days of trouble, remember your Creator. Again, remember God. Pray for the wisdom to number your days in light of what's revealed here. Take time to think about life and death, to think about the curse. Verse 7. The dust returns to the ground it came from. That's hearkening back to Genesis, isn't it? The curse for sin, the penalties for sin. By the sweat of your brow, Genesis 3:19, eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Remember that in the days of your youth. This is a word for you by God's grace to humble you. Your strength is not forever. You know, sometimes injuries or disabilities, I was speaking with someone this morning, injuries, disabilities, even when a person is young, little foretastes of this picture of old age. And God can use these things to humble us, puts his finger on our lives. Say, remember your dust. To dust you'll return. In verse 6, it's repeated over and over, broken, broken, broken. I read one saying that goes, inside every old person is a young person asking, what happened? Inside every old person is a young person asking, what happened? Well, the Bible tells us what happened. Sin happened. the curse happened. But in God's grace, the Bible also tells us that the incarnation happened, and the cross of Christ happened, and the resurrection happened. Remember, young people, in the days of your youth, remember the gospel, remember Christ. This is a call to Christ and the gospel. It's a reminder that this life is a breath. I read recently that when Queen Elizabeth I lay on her deathbed, her last words, according to the tradition, were these: "Time, time, give me one more moment of time. I would give my kingdom and all I possess for one more moment of time." But our days are written in God's book, every one of them, before they come to be. And he says, today is the day of salvation. Broken, broken, broken is the curse of sin. But Jesus came to this world. And in the upper room, before he went to the cross, he said to his people, "This is my body broken for you. This is my body, my sinless, righteous body broken for you." Substitutionary atonement. The Christ who came to stand in the place of his people and bear the curse for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse himself. What a call to youth this is again. Before the days of trouble come. But what about after? What about after the days of trouble start coming? You know, Paul says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Young people have been called, be happy, young man, while you're young. Rejoice while you're young. But is it possible for an old person to rejoice too? With all of these things happening to our bodies? Can old age rejoice? Well, one writer said, "No sun can dispel the clouds and the sorrows of old age except for Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness." Christ is the answer for every age of life, for every person, for every stage of life. Our lives as believers are living sacrifices to God, whether those lives are young lives or older lives. And in Christ, there can be joy and comfort even in the days of trouble. How can that be? Well, they are days of trouble, and there are things that are happening that are not pleasant. But every day that we live, every year that we live, if we're believers, is more time to be more and more conformed to Christ. Peter calls us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And we do that the longer we live, if we're believers. Proverbs 16:31 says, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life." The King James Version has, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." There is an increasing glory. The life of the righteous is like the sun that rises in the morning and keeps rising until its noonday height. We sang Psalm 92. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." That's spiritual fruit. It's the freshness and the greenness of life in Christ. By God's grace, you see, the days of trouble can be days of fruitfulness. They're also days of sanctification. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Yeah, they are troubles as we get older. They're trials of many kinds, but God can sanctify those trials to the lives of his people. The days of trouble are still days of hope and comfort in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:1, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, and that may be a long, drawn-out process, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What a hope we have. What a comfort in Christ. Anna and Simeon in the Gospels were old, but they were the ones looking for Christ, looking for the redemption for Israel. And seeing him, they rejoiced. The days of trouble in God's grace remind us of what is lasting, of what is coming. The days of trouble wean us from what is seen and what is temporary. There's a blessing in that. I'm not tempted anymore to a life of professional sports, if I ever was. I'm just not anymore, because it's not going to happen. But you see, there's a blessing in that. It shouldn't be a regret. There's a blessing in that, because God is weaning us from the things that are temporary and passing away, from the things that may woo us and seduce our souls. They're just taken away. They're taken away. But by God's grace, it isn't merely a deprivation. It's a reorientation to the things that are unseen and eternal. It should be true all the time, but sometimes when a believer is old and all of these things have been happening, they say, I have nothing left but Christ. Whom have I in heaven but you? What do I desire on the earth but you? Everything else is gone. But you have Christ. And you focus on the things that you have in Christ and the things that are coming. 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The strength of our bodies fails us. But haven't you met believers, old Christians, Nason in the scriptures, who was an archaic disciple, it says in the Greek, old believers who are weak in their bodies, but you speak with them for 5 minutes and you say, there is a strong Christian. There's a steadfast believer. What strength of soul they have. What strength of conviction, what depth of worship and gratitude to God. What a right perspective they have on life. Because though outwardly they're wasting away, inwardly they've been renewed day by day by day by the grace and Spirit of God. Paul continues, for our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. They're days of trouble, yes. But for the Christian, they're days of great hope and great comfort. There's so many things we could say. Christian age, old age, is a great witness for Christ. It's a great witness for Christ. You become part of that cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 13, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith as they went on through the years of their life. Oh, God was faithful to them. They were steadfast to the end. Being an old Christian is a great testimony and a witness for Christ to the younger generation. Just like Christians that by God's grace are married for 50 and 60 and 70 years are the great testimony to the people that were married last year or the year before, and a great encouragement that we no longer conform to the pattern of this world. It says, oh, well, give it a try for a year. No, you look to these marriages that by God's grace have stood the test of time and have been faithful. And old age as a believer is like that in general. You think of Polycarp, who was tempted in his old age to betray Christ and to renounce Christ. And he said, 86 years have I served my king, and he has never done me harm. How can I reject him now? What a great testimony and witness for Christ is an old Christian. And we have this great comfort. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And if that is true, if you are a believer, he says, I am surely with you always, even to the end of your age, whatever that age might be. In Isaiah 46:4, God is speaking to his people Israel, but it's God speaking to every one of his children when he says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you.